on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Again, welcome to the Believe in Iowa State podcast, this time with Tyler Carter.
And this time with better audio quality, Cody Mancilolo.
Yes, yes, we had to do this again. This is going to be the game preview episode. We're coming off of a bye week. This team is ready, fresh, raring to go against Arkansas State. Cody.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously, it's been a week or two since our guys last played. Obviously, our last game was a very emotional, should I say. Obviously, coming back down 13 at halftime against the Iowa Hawkeyes in Kinnick Stadium. And then, obviously, Kyle Conroy, like, essentially edging his name into the football team, getting that, like, hitting that 54-yard game-winning field goal. And then getting a bunch of Pop-Tarts, so that was definitely like a very like high emotion type of week. But very glad we had that bye week to kind of regroup, refocus, and I'm ready. I'm simply ready for Saturday. Can we just get straight to Saturday, please?
Man, let's do it. Let's take a look back. Arkansas State played Michigan. They played right at the Big House. So let's take a look at that real quick. I'm gonna go share my screen. Going to look at that, look at the box score real quick, and then give our thoughts on this week's game. So Here we are right here. So Jalen Rayner and Timmy McClain were the main quarterbacks, so I wouldn't be surprised if both of those guys would be able to play and are in the mix. But one of the crazy things to me, man, is the gaudy rushing numbers of Michigan, dude. 301 yards on the ground with a 6.8 per yard average per clip.
Yeah. I mean, just obviously, Leo Mullings leading the way with 15 carries for 153 yards and two touchdowns. He had that obviously long, almost 40-yard run for a touchdown. So it showed, like, that you can run potentially, like, the Arkansas State is not exactly the most potent when it comes to defending the run, and maybe that's just an indication of maybe Michigan's like a size, given that they're a Big Ten squad and Arkansas State is was a Sun Belt, if I'm not mistaken, or like a G5. So, yeah, I think it just shows the athletic difference between their program in the Sun Belt and then Michigan as a Big Ten school, and Michigan having much better athletes. That's just a given.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, obviously you're going to see that mismatch with them being a group of five school and you're facing a Big Ten and the defending national champions. And they scored both their touchdowns in garbage time. So of course, this score looks deceiving, as in they scored these touchdowns with 9 minutes left and 5 minutes left, respectively. But the only thing is that, you know, when this game, I don't see us having three turnovers, because Michigan is in a unique position to where they don't have really good quarterback play at all in this game. I was just looking at just some of the things where I was thinking, go. I do think, though, that we can get the running game started. I feel like this is going to be a game where Abu can definitely get 100 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's one of the big things is now, like, you should be able to finally establish the run, because that's been struggling the last couple of games. I mean, go back to, obviously, North Dakota. Abusama, outside of that, like, amazing run on, like, basically the third play of the game, he wasn't able to do too much. Like, he only had, like, 5 carries for 36 yards, but I think that kind of like, but with the North Dakota and how they play, we kind of really didn't have much time with the ball, so it was kind of difficult to get that. And then obviously, it was very difficult in the first half to deal with Iowa's front seven, so we weren't able to get rushing yards there. So it seems to be a little bit of, like, it's a little concerning that we aren't able to really establish a run game. But hopefully now with the return of Jalen Travis and then the second lineman, I don't remember his name, but
Dalen Hastert.
Yeah. With Dalen Hastert and Jalen Travis being healthy and being available to play, I'm hoping that that's going to be able to open up some more running lanes for Abu Sama or Carson Hanson or Jalen Jackson and really get a lot of yards on the ground.
Completely agree, man. But I'm also thinking, you know, hey, maybe their approach isn't for a guy just to get 100 yards rushing just by himself alone. Maybe it's going to be more of a running back by committee to where you have Abu get like maybe 100, then you get Carson get 50, maybe Jalen Jackson get like 75, something like that. I could also see something like that to where as a collective we can maybe run for like 150 or 200, something like that. I could definitely see that attack too.
Yeah. And I'm just hoping honestly to see like because I think our offensive line actually has gotten like a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Like the week one react, like obviously week one, I think we overreacted a little bit about like the run game, and then week two, like obviously, like maybe like there's still some like reactions, but I mean, still, like they're growing new unit. It's second year under Ryan Clan, and I'm still hopeful that he'll be able to figure out like an optimal lineup and be able to get our guys like to assert themselves dominantly.
But I also think a thing from a, you know, a glass half full perspective, you can also look and say, hey, we may have not gotten 100 yards against Iowa, but we like the way we were moving the ball on them. And at the, like when we didn't kill ourselves with penalties, when we got ourselves to the 9-yard line on that one, on that drive where we started off at the one. So it's not like we weren't moving the ball. It was dumb procedural penalties that got us in trouble. So, I mean, if we can, like, we move the ball on Iowa, like, slowly but surely. But so I think, you know, with this Arkansas State squad being, I think they said 117th in rush defense in the nation, I think that could be an advantage where we can get them. And of course, you know, our passing game, I'm really, really excited to see. I definitely want a guy I do want to see get involved is Ben Bramer. Ben Bramer did have some key catches in last week's games. I'm really looking to see the tight ends to get involved.
Yeah, and I heard something like the reason why Bramer didn't get as many touches is like kind of like injury prevention. I think it was just to make sure that he was staying healthy because I think he had some like lingering injuries on his body, so they kind of like limited his touches so they can minimize that risk of him like potentially suffering like a bigger injury. So very understandable. But I mean, Steve O'Klotz and Gabe Burkle, I mean, stepped up from the tight end position and they looked pretty good. I mean, Steve O'Klotz had that 20-ish yard like catch and run, which got us into Iowa territory, which was followed by that Jaden Higgins touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, just these complimentary guys, tight end. We have a lot of depth in that room. We've really always had a lot of depth in that position as long as Matt Campbell has been here. I am excited to see what they cook up the first drive. I wonder if they're going to do maybe a similar attack to maybe to where they start off throwing and then they just, you know, get up by like 2-3 scores, maybe up by 17-20 points, and then just do that boring style of ball that Matt Campbell likes to play when they're up by a lot of points and just bleed the clock out. I'm thinking that has to be like a similar plan to, I'm thinking it's going to be a similar plan to what the North Dakota game is. Do you think the same thing?
Yeah, I could definitely see that, but I'm pretty sure maybe Matt Campbell wants to build up a little bit of a bigger lead to really like establish that and to be sure. And I mean, yeah, I think the first half is going to like kind of determine what we do in the second half, because like if we're really dominating on the offensive side of the ball in the first half, like we might like pump the brakes a little bit and then just bleed the clock, get our like running back some more like carries, like, and then get like maybe our backups into the game, like perhaps like in the like by like midway through the third quarter or in like starting the fourth quarter essentially. Because I think this game's just going to be like more of just like finding like really establishing your depth chart, figuring out who you can go to in like certain situations. And mm-hmm. I I expect this to like kind of be like Iowa State able to take care of business, because again, we're not dealing with like any sort of like hangover. So I don't expect this team to have like any hangover from Cy Hawk. I mean, these guys are clearly locked in, they're focused, and they're gonna just do their job to the best as they can and just like play Iowa State football.
Right, yeah. I just think they'll play to the best of their abilities. One thing I wanted to ask you, what are three key indicators that you're looking for this game to be successful in your eyes?
Yeah, first thing I want to look at is obviously that run game, maybe getting into like that 150 to 200 yard rushing area, whether that be like by maybe one or two player or just by committee. I would love to see like a good rotation of running backs, just so we know like we can go to like either Jalen Jackson or Carson Hanson if Abu Salman was like not on the field, so we don't have to rely on just one running back for the majority of our carries and the majority of our yards. Second thing, it's just, you won't see it in the stats, but obviously I want to see our offensive and defensive lines like really dominate, pushing guys around, creating lanes for running backs on the offensive side of the ball. And on a defense, getting pressure on the QB is going to be another huge thing, because we got actually a couple sacks on, we got a sack or two on Cade McNamara, and then we obviously had like some great defensive line plays. I mean, especially Dominique Orange on basically that first down to start the second quarter. So we got glimpses of that last time Iowa State played football. So yeah, just want to be able to see like our two like offensive, like our two lines really dominate and be like set the tone for the game. And then finally, a third key is just keep it simple. Like, don't do anything too crazy. Don't do anything out of character that would likely just be a risk. But like, just don't be out of character. Just play your style of football, execute when you need to, and just keep it smooth sailing.
I like those, man. Key indicator number one for me, the lines, man. Like, the line, like we have said, line play is going to determine the success of this season. There was elite defensive line play last game, with Dom Orange making an impact early in the game, and Ikenna Eziogu and Tyler Onyedem being a disruption to Cade McNamara all day. Like we said, the quarterback that we're facing is athletic. The receivers that we're facing are going to be athletic. So this may be a little bit of a test for us going into Big 12 play. I look to see that Zach Levitt is going to have a big impact in this game, especially as a spy. He usually is when we have athletic quarterbacks. So number one for me is line play. Number two is definitely the running game. Like you said, I'm in the same thing as you, 150 to 200 yards as a collective. I would love to see that, because if this is, if we can't run the ball on this team, then are we ever going to be able to run the ball? That's my question. Like, I mean, we got to do it at some point. But and then third, I players from Mason's Place. Matt Campbell loves to say players from Mason's Place. So get the guys in that you need to see, and I want the guys to have fun out there. Ideally, I would love to just see backups in the third quarter, in like near the middle of the third quarter, so we don't have to see starters all the way deep into the fourth quarter. But yeah. So, I mean, let's talk score predictions.
I'm thinking this one, Iowa State's going to be able to control the tempo from the jump. Definitely put up a lot of points, like, in the first, like, quarter, move the ball well in the first half, especially, and then maybe get, like, a touchdown or two here in the second half. But more than likely, I'm expecting, like, something around in the ballpark of, like, 31 to 33. 5-10 in favor of Iowa State.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm going to say we win this 35-10. If you want to share your screen, let's look at this upcoming action for the Big 12. There are some key matchups and around college football that I wanted to talk about real quick.
Yeah. And I mean, even before we look at the Big 12 schedule, one thing to note here, if Iowa State wins this game, Matt Campbell is going to tie Dan McCartney for the most wins as an Iowa State football head coach.
We gotta talk about the importance of this, guys. Like, a lot of people, I think some people really don't like really know. Like, this is like really big territory. Like, Dan McCartney was the foundation for this program, so that a coach like Matt could come in here. But and the fact that Matt Campbell did it in 27 less games, dude, 56 and 49, like as a winning record, and then having a winning record in the conference in this Big 12, like, it's just absolutely remarkable, dude.
Yeah. And then, I mean, even at, like, I think it was, like, what is it, after, in 2019, when Matt Campbell beat then Big 12 Texas, Matt Campbell, I believe, became the first, like, coach, I think, in Big 12 history, or, like, in Iowa State history, to beat every single team that was in the conference. And the funny thing is, he's also beaten Iowa State as well, technically, because at the time, he was the head coach at Toledo. They played Iowa State and beat them, so it's kind of funny to go back and look at that and see, like, wow. Matt Campbell really did beat every team in that 10-team Big 12, including his current team.
Yeah.
And this is what Matt Campbell had to say, like, in his press conference on Tuesday. So this is what he had to say about Coach McCartney. He said, what Coach Mack did here for the longevity of his career, when he took over, when he came into Iowa State, obviously he was able to build here, laid the foundation for everybody following him to really have a chance to have true success. So obviously Matt Campbell acknowledges the history and what Dan McCartney has done. And yeah, I'm just very glad to see that Matt Campbell has like acknowledged and he understands the importance and he understands the impact of Dan McCartney. So
well, yeah, love to see that. I mean, and you see it during the season. He, like, every season he brings him in the off season, he brings him in during the season. He brought him in last year during the Jack Trice legacy game. So like the fact that they still have that relationship and that he still has those relationships from the past and brings those past players still in to like bridge these generations, it's absolutely amazing, man.
Yeah. And you just mentioned before we talked about that, but we're gonna take a look at the Big 12 schedule here and try to remember which of the teams like were on bye. I'm looking right now, it looks like Arizona's on a bye, and then the other team would be UCF. Yeah. So, UCF on a bye. After that, comeback win against TCU in Fort Worth, and then Arizona on a bye after walking into Bill Snyder and just getting the doors blown off of them in the Battle of the Wildcats against Kansas State. So those two teams are going to be on bye for a different reason. We'll see what they do in that. But in the meantime, we have some beautiful Big 12 action coming up on Saturday.
I love it.
Yep. So the 11 a.m. window, so that's going to be 11 a.m. Central. You're going to have Houston at Cincinnati and then Kansas at West Virginia.
So, yeah, that Kansas-West Virginia game, I got a few thoughts on that. That's going to be the game on between which fan base will get pissed off at their head coach first. Like, I mean, with all the hype that Kansas got nationally about, oh yeah, they're a dark horse to win the Big 12. They can't defend, and Jalen Daniels has regressed. Like, I'm actually pretty shocked here.
Yeah, West Virginia. I think some of us have said like West Virginia looks right there to possibly contend for that spot along with Kansas. So you would have told me like 3 weeks ago before the start of the season that Kansas and West Virginia will both be 1-2 and their fans would want their respective head coaches out the door. You would have had to convince me like this wasn't like a magistrate. Like, I would have called you crazy, but here we are. I mean, are we going to see either like the reconstruction of Kansas's David Booth Memorial Stadium have a delay because of fans being crazy and wanting that place taken down and just destroying it? Or are going to see a lot more moonshine being consumed and a lot of couches being burned in Morgantown? We'll have to see what level of destruction we're going to see from that game.
We'll see. There's some juicy storylines in that one. Houston, Cincinnati. This is a big game for Houston. If you win it right here, you're what, 3-1? So like 3-1 going into next week, when they play us, I mean that'd be huge for Willie Fritz in his first season as Houston head coach.
Mm-hmm. And I'm saying like Houston could possibly have been like they could have easily been like 4-0 hanging to the game against Iowa State. They win this game, they could have easily been 4-0 because I mean they only lost by 4 to Oklahoma in Norman. So just imagine if Houston was able to flip that game. They could have been like 3-0 heading this game and maybe be 4-0 before they faced off hosting Iowa State.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see who comes out with a victorious in that. We got our game that we previewed. We're also going to – there's a Arizona State and Texas Tech at 2:30. That's going to be an interesting matchup.
Mm-hmm. Arizona State, like, they're looking pretty good. I mean – not what a lot of people expected, but that's just the Big 12. I expected chaos, but this is just a different level of chaos. No, I don't know how many people expected Arizona to be 3, like to have, be 3-0 on their bingo cards. Yeah, so that's kind of wild.
I'm not gonna lie, nobody expected that, and if you are, you're lying.
Or you're one of the few Arizona State football fans.
Yeah, if you're a Sun Devils fan, you probably expected this, but I'm gonna tell you that you didn't. But of course, we have the headliner. Of course, in conference play, we have the Utah Utes and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Man, I have been looking forward to this one since they announced this one on the schedule.
Mm-hmm. And it being a top 15 matchup, it adds a little bit more. Now, obviously, I think Cam Rising's health is still up in the air. We still don't know if Cam Rising for sure is going to actually play in this game. So I think that kind of – if that's the case, then that'll favor Oklahoma State. I mean, last week, Oklahoma State was able to take care of business against – was it Tulsa?
Yeah.
Yeah, so after that scare they had against Arkansas week two, they were able to right the ship and get back in business against Tulsa. And now hosting Utah, this is an early – this is essentially an early, like, play-in game. Like, this is an early eliminator, I'd say. Loser of this one is going to have a much more difficult time getting back to that position of being in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, the thing is, especially, and this will bode worse for Utah because Utah doesn't have to play Kansas State, at least with Oklahoma State. If Oklahoma State wins this game or if Oklahoma State loses the game, at least they'll still have a chance to face Kansas State, which is one of the other contenders in this conference.
Yeah, I mean, got to compare Utah's schedule after this game compared to Oklahoma State's, because looking at it here, Utah doesn't have as many chances because after Oklahoma State, Utah will have against Arizona, who I thought looked a little better, but they disappointed against Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Arizona State, now that one is a little more intriguing. That's a little more intriguing, so they'll get that boost. And versus TCU, still like in the air about TCU. TCU still middle of the pack team. Houston, is a little like they're a little hot right now. We'll have to see what they do against Cincinnati, and then against BYU in the Holy War, at Colorado, and then they host us, and then they go at UCF. So that's the Utah schedule after Oklahoma State, and then for the Cowboys at Kansas State, so in Manhattan, and then they host West Virginia at BYU. It's late night in Provo. That's Big 12 after dark, actually. So they announced that. Yeah, 9:15 local time kickoff at Baylor against Arizona State. So they host Arizona State Stillwater at TCU versus Texas Tech, and then at Colorado. So between those two schedules, I might have to get this. Like, I've given the slight edge to Oklahoma State because that BYU game, we don't know what time that's like kicking off, and that's in Rice-Eccles.
Right, we don't know what time that's kicking off, and even if you have a blemish on your record at, let's say they lose at Bill Snyder Family Stadium against that, and they get out of this game, they can afford to have one blemish on their record. So it's going to be interesting to see how the end of this conference race goes. So it's up in the air. Let's look, and then there we have the battle for the Iron Skillet, TCU SMU. On the CW network.
Oh, man. No. Oh, no.
The ACC and the CW network, something the relationship I never thought I'd see.
Yeah. I never thought I'd hear the CW network carrying college sports in general, and now they're carrying college football. I'm like, what?
Right. I'm not going to lie, bro. On the CW, I used to watch Supernatural, but college football?
I wouldn't have guessed. But here we are in 2024, and that's what we have to deal with. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So after that, you get Baylor at Colorado for the 7 p.m. kickoff. So that's prime. So that's prime time mm-hmm. in prime time.
Yeah, that's probably going to be a Tim Brando game for sure.
Yeah. We'll have to see how Colorado, like, I don't know. Like, I'm still like on the fence about Colorado, but I feel like they should be able to take care of Baylor. Yeah, like, but I don't know. Like, I don't even know. Like, the Colorado football team is literally just, it's like the college football version of the Kardashians or like any trash reality TV show. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what drama is going to come out. I mean, mm-hmm. we had to deal last week, I believe, with the drama of Shedeur Sanders not shaking the hand of like the Colorado State quarterback, saying, quote, not on my level or something like that. It was something along the lines of that, but it's just wild.
Yeah, it's a whole circus. We said that at the beginning of the season. We really don't know how that's gonna end. Let's get to this final game. This one has the chance to be interesting. Kansas State BYU, Big 12 After Dark, 9:30 on ESPN. I mean I could see maybe that BYU give them trouble, but honestly, I see K-State dominating them like we did BYU last year when we played there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love to see more from Avery Johnson, that DJ Edward, or is it DJ Giddens or DJ Edwards? Like, I don't
know. It's DJ Giddens and Dylan Edwards.
I could see honestly those two like kind of like balling out against BYU. But who knows? Who knows what if BYU this year, because they look slightly better this year. So we'll have to see what happens. And again, like maybe like us going into BYU after dark and like demolishing BYU is kind of a freak case. I mean, that was BYU's first year in the Big 12. So maybe BYU has understood like what it's like to be in the Big 12 now. So that may be a little tougher game. Maybe that's why like looking at the line here, it's only six and a half.
Wasn't it up to like 8 like at the beginning of the week?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think at the beginning of the week when they first announced it, it was 8.5. Now it's down to 6.5. So looks like some of the money, looking like maybe some people believe that BYU can cover that spread. And depending on which Kansas State shows up, it depends on which Kansas State shows up too. Does the Tulane game Wildcats mm-hmm. show up? Or the Arizona game, Kansas State Wildcats show. It depends on which one they are.
That's going to be the key. It's which team shows up. Like, if it's the Arizona... Look, now, if the Arizona K-State team shows up, they're going to be hard to beat. But if it's the Tulane one, then, hey, you know, they could be had. But it's going to be interesting to see. And I don't really think there's really any other interesting games nationally. The only other one that I find interesting is Illinois and Nebraska. That's going to be a ranked versus ranked matchup.
Yeah, right here. Yep, and that's a 7 p.m. on Fox. Let's see. Yeah, we went through the Big 12. I think we like mentioned James Madison, North Carolina could be interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see about them.
Oh, USC Michigan too.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be the Big Ten on CBS matchup. Have to see if Miller Moss continues to grow because, I mean, what he showed in the LSU game at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
The Duke can ball. We'll have to see how that goes. And then looking down here, UCLA at LSU. That one could be something there. This might be more of a blowout. You might have to see, I don't know. I think if you're a better, you might have to just go ahead and smash LSU line. They're going to more than cover the spread. I found the mistake.
I completely agree. Yeah, because they smashed UCLA last year. I think they'll be due for the same thing in Death Valley.
Mm-hmm. Talk about NIU after that big win against Notre Dame.
Yeah, they start off conference play at home against Buffalo. So they start off the
and
max. That
line season is looking really interesting, 13.5. So who knows?
Yeah. And with the over-under of 43.5, that's interesting. So yeah, I think we can end there. This is your game preview for the Arkansas State Red Wolves. Once again, we thank you for joining us. A few quick things to end the podcast. In order for contact, we can be reached at our Twitters at Matt Campbell Impersonator for this guy. For me, yep, at SciTie Guy. Look for us on social media at Believe in Iowa State, BLEAV. Believe in Iowa State Podcast on X/Twitter. YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok. So once again, for Tyler Carter.
And from Cody Van Cielo.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Go Cyclones.
Go State.